Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Okay, we're good. Welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I'm so excited. Naomi Jones is joining me in the podcast studio. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really good. Today's my birthday.
Oh yeah, happy birthday. And you brought me a gift on your birthday. You are so sweet.
Thank you for your gift. And I actually saw that gift in my kitchen before coming here and I thought, I need to give that to Christina.
Yes. So she got me a mug that says yoga first, then all the things. And it's a True North yoga mug because you just opened up a studio.
We did. So my husband and I opened up a studio. I can tell you a little bit more about that. But for that coffee mug in particular, he's really proud of. He is handling all of the tchotchkes, ordering all the tchotchkes or giveaways. In particular, when we were gearing up for our grand opening, which was about a month ago now, he ordered that mug. And then he came up with the quote. It's probably a quote that's been used 1,000 times, but it says, yoga, then all the things.
Yeah.
Yoga, then all the things. So get in your yoga practice and then do all the things. And all the things might be a little bit different when you have a practice first.
I also,
including coffee.
Yes. I also really like there's the coffee one, like the serenity prayer that's turned into a yoga coffee thing where it's like, coffee so that I can take care of the things that I can. And then yoga to help me deal with all the things I can't. I'm totally
to accept all the things that I can.
Yeah. It's like a version of the serenity prayer. I really like that one.
Yes. I feel like I've embodied that prayer.
Lots of yoga, lots of coffee. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. And this is really cool to be seated across from you and get to see you.
Every time I talk to someone who wants to get more involved in the yoga community, I'm like, you've got to talk to Naomi Jones. She is incredible. And I really love your ability to step into all yoga spaces in our community and get everyone to reach out and connect to each other. Mm. Not to mention you started Idaho Yoga Health and Awareness Week. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Idaho Health and Yoga Awareness Week.
Yes.
Are you trying to make me cry? I'm just kidding.
No, but I'm always like, if you need to find any yoga something, contact Naomi. She's the one who kind of connected all the yoga people together.
Well, thank you for that. That means a lot. That means a lot coming from you. And it just means a lot in particular to me about why I was thinking on my way here to come and meet with you about why am I still practicing yoga? I know why I'm practicing yoga, but why do I still choose to teach yoga? Which a lot of teachers often ask themselves, and it's a really good question. But in particular now with the pandemic and how the world's been turned upside down in a lot of spaces where we used to teach. It's another question of, do I still want to teach this craft and why? What does it mean to me? And so when you say that to me, it makes me really happy actually to hear, because that is really the reason that I love to teach is, for me, I started to teach yoga as a way to be in the community still, to find more things to do, because I just loved the way that I felt and the way my life was changing from starting a yoga practice. And I just didn't want it to end. And I suppose maybe in my subconscious or unconscious mind, I felt like if I'm not surrounded by a bunch of yogis, then somehow I'm going to go back into the life I was living before, which I really wanted desperately to change. Mm-hmm. And so part of the creating Idaho Health and Yoga Awareness was I struggled as a teacher when I first when I took my first teacher training program. That was a Bikram yoga teacher training with Bikram Chowdhury back in the day. That was in 2012. And really struggled standing up in front of other people and teaching. I was terrified. And my mind was all over the place. My life was kind of falling apart and coming back together at that time. And so I decided to create opportunities for the public here, the community here in Boise in particular, to find a yoga practice, because I knew how valuable it was for me, how impactful and life-changing it was for me. And so I thought, okay, if I'm not able to teach a yoga class yet, then I at least want to get people in front of teachers that can so that they can feel in their body how different it can be. Their everyday state of mind can change radically. And so I started working with the yoga community from that place of wanting to continue to serve and of be of service, which you and I know as yogis is, I didn't realize at the time after my first teacher training, I probably should have, but I didn't realize that I was actually working in karma yoga. So I wasn't teaching a yoga class, but in being of service to others, I was dedicating a lot of my time and efforts towards helping other people. And that's one of the yoga paths that's really powerful as well, which is called karma yoga. And it really helped me to get out of my own head, to get out of my ego mind, to be able to stay focused on helping other people. That's how, through an act of love, and I started to love myself more in that process of just continuing with yoga and getting to know people. And it's interesting too to note that I remember Don Silva. You know Don Silva. He still teaches at Hollywood Market, where you teach, and you're an amazing teacher at and mentor for many in the yoga community. And all of your students love you, I know.
Aw, thank you.
But I remember Don Silva way back when I first met him, that he said, you know what's so funny about you starting this community yoga, Idaho Health and Yoga Awareness, is that you came from one of the most isolated yoga lineages.
Yes.
So it's a lineage. Bikram yoga is, they kind of just do the same thing. They don't kind of, they do.
To describe that in that way is everything for me in this moment, because I've definitely described my yoga in that way, where we just kind of like write it off. We're like, well, you just kind of do the same thing, when we know it, there's more to it than that.
Oh, there's a whole lot more to it.
But I know that feeling of being like, yeah, we do the same thing.
We do the same thing to see how different we are every day.
Yes.
So we do the same yoga postures to be able to see how different a day can be in your body and in your mind. And I still feel that that's a really powerful yoga practice. But Don said, this is really interesting that you're reaching out and getting to know so many teachers coming from a practice where they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I shouldn't say that everyone doesn't do that, but they're just more isolated and they kind of do their own thing. And they're more on the periphery of the yoga community. And I felt, wow, I'm going to get to know all these different teachers and practice all this different yoga now. And I felt that it was really important for my overall perspective and just creating more diversity and connection, like you said, with people, because that's what really makes me happy inside, I found, is that when I get to meet all different types of people.
Yes.
Whether it's through yoga or whether it's taking a class or traveling and teaching. I like to teach in Mexico quite a bit.
Okay, I need to find the website. Did I email? I might have emailed you and you might have emailed me back. But I remember you sending me a link to a website that shows you all the places in the world that are accepting yoga teachers, and they'll give you a discount and let you stay at the resort if you teach for them.
Yes. If you're a yoga teacher out there and you want to travel and teach, it's significantly discounted to use a company called Fit Bodies.
That's right.
Go look it up, and it's great.
I'm going to keep that in my mind because I've
Fit Bodies.
I've tried to tell people, I'm like, F-I-T. I forgot. Look it up.
It's usually when you really need to get away. You're like, what is that website? I need to get the hell out of here.
Pulling out my hair. Oh my gosh. I think what's interesting about hot yoga particularly, because it seems like it's been a gateway for a lot of us into discovering other types of yoga, because the way Dawn described Bikram and hot yoga as being on the periphery, we are kind of cultish in our yoga experience. Mm-hmm. And so we have this expectation that we need to murder ourselves or just like get really hot. But I love how you said you needed to get out of your head. And that's what I feel like hot yoga has been able to do for a lot of people who can't get out of their head.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I can speak for myself that when I started, I had practiced, this was probably, okay, so this is when I was a student and just finding out about yoga. It was the same year that I had my second child in 2008. I started to find a yoga practice, and it was non-heated in the beginning. I met Deb Murphy, that we all love here in the community, attended some of her workshops up in McCall at Shanti Yoga, and enjoyed that quite a bit. And one of the things I thought was the thing that's stuck with me the most from going to a workshop was that there was a group of people that you could hang out with that were friendly and nice and easygoing and liked to practice yoga and would listen to you. Like everyone would sit around and you would listen to one another and there wasn't any drama. It was a lot different from all the parties I used to go to.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was an introduction. And then speaking to your hot yoga point, long story short, my brother from LA, who I'd practiced vinyasa with a few times and loved that practice, said, why don't we go in this hot yoga studio instead of going to the gym today? So we walked in at the very last moment into the Bikram Yoga studio that used to be on State Street here in Boise. And my mind stopped, or my thoughts, let's say that my thoughts, the thoughts of the past and the future stopped in that moment because I was so freaked out in that room. It was so hot and so stinky and there were so many people in there and it did not end that I had to focus so completely on the instructor and what she was saying that I felt a sense of bliss for the first time in my body and in my mind. And I didn't know what that was, but I told myself, whatever that was, I'm going to go back and feel that again, because I just took, for the first time, a vacation from all of the negative thoughts that had been running through my mind so much at that point in my life. And I said, I don't know what that was, but I'm definitely going to be going back, and I need to find out what that is. So that's how it all started in hot yoga for me.
How long did you wait until you did your first training?
4 years.
4 years.
So with the Bikram practice being pretty rigid at the time, you had to be, the studio owner needed to recommend you to the training.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember back in the day? With Indian trainings, they still are like that, actually, and Indian lineages. So I was a student for 3 or 4 years. I want to say 3.5. And then I thought, okay, I'll go to this training, and I don't know.
What was the best part of your training?
Saying yes to go, not really knowing why. So it wouldn't have happened if I wasn't there. And I'm glad that things worked out so that I could be there. And then I would say that the second thing was to realize that I had set up a life for myself that no longer worked.
Okay.
And then there was the fallout that came after that.
That
most yogis experience at some point in their life.
I think you do teacher trainings also, and every teacher training, you're like, okay, what are you guys going through that you're coming here? little joke. But I remember we had a training where everyone was going through different transitions, but you never know the emotions that are going to come into a training. And And for one reason or another, like we had a training where everyone was going through something and just so emotional, and they like really bonded and are there for each other and they're best friends. And as the trainers were like, man, that was exhausting. And then the next training, like same thing, lots of transitions, but nobody was emotional at all. But they are all just like happy all the time. We're like, wow, this is so easy. But I feel like the people who go into the training, they're meant to find each other at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a mystical, religious, spiritual person, but I am an energetic person. And like something about when people come together for the purpose of learning yoga and they're drawn there and they don't know why. And they all just kind of like you said with your workshop, it's no drama like a party you used to go to. But you have a common thing that you're working towards in personal development. And these amazing little communities are developing in a little training.
I think that's a really interesting point, and I love that you're a lead trainer at the Hollywood Market Yoga Teacher Training. It's so fascinating to me, and one of the things I love so much is to see the dynamics of groups.
Yes.
The philosophy, the dynamics, group dynamics, to see how the energy of a group, which you said can be so radically different for whatever reason. I've seen the same things happen with retreats as well.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be a retreat where there's a lot of people experiencing shifts, and they're very vulnerable and open and are sharing, and other people are highly respectful and listen and hold. It's kind of like you hear in yoga, holding the space or creating sacred space, or... It's like when people create that for each other, then it's can get really powerful really fast. I just had a retreat last weekend where I experienced that, and I was at the end, the fire ceremony at the end, and I was like, this has been life-changing for me. I'm like one of the participants. I was, and I, you know, shared tears with the guests and heard, like had some pretty neat things happen in our inquiry time, and then just fun as well. But I do feel that what you're saying, when people come into a teacher training and they will experience something really special with their group and with you as a teacher and with your faculty there, and about themselves. Which reminds me of when we started the retreat, and this is about, you know, you and me too, of just in the world right now. So is that we really get to experience who we are in relationship to other people. Mm-hmm. When you have a relationship with another person, you get to see yourself reflected. It's one, as being a human being, it's one, it's a really real living thing that, oh, okay, I just did that crappy thing. What's going on with that? Or I am really in love with this conversation or with this person when we have tea and I feel so immersed in, you know, a rich dialogue. Or you honk at someone in your car and then you're like, well, that was kind of a jerk move. Why did I do that? You know, so you get to see yourself over and over again through awareness that yoga teaches us to take some pause and reflect.
Yeah, I'm reminded that I'm human all the time. And especially with traffic, I just feel like traffic is, I used to be a really angry driver. And I think it wasn't necessarily me being an angry driver. It just felt like an appropriate place to let some steam off. I'm alone in my car, so I can swear if I want to. I can yell at the other cars because I don't feel like I'm yelling at the driver. I feel like I'm yelling at the car.
That's great.
And so I feel like if anything's, and I'm, you know, yoga teacher driving to the studio to teach class, and I'm like, okay, before I get to class, I'm going to curse at every driver. And it didn't make any sense to me yogically. I'm like, this really doesn't make sense. So why am I choosing this as like my avenue of releasing steam, especially when I'm heading to yoga, which is like a healthier way, I suppose, to do that. And so it's interesting that I would even think that thought, because in the past, I never even thought, why am I yelling at strangers on the road? And now I'm like, why am I yelling at strangers on the road? Especially when they're doing things that I have done. They cut me off. Whoops. I remember that time I cut someone off.
Right.
Did we survive? Yes. Okay. We can let it go.
Oh, that's really cool. I never really thought that the person honking might be thinking that. that they don't, they're not honking at a person in the car driving. They're honking at the fact that the car just is not moving. But,
Yeah.
of course there's a person driving the car and that person reacts and
it's a whole thing.
Yeah. I think we all have the, what is it called? We all have activities or behaviors that, lets us, blow off steam in our lives. So everyone can identify with that.
Yeah. What do you like to do to blow off steam?
Blow off steam. That's a good question. Well, I love to practice yoga. That always is very helpful to, usually I just need to ground myself mainly when I'm blowing off steam. Go for a walk.
Okay.
Yeah. I love to walk. That's really good for me if I'm having a hard day. I love yoga. I love walking. Walking is so interesting just to take a look at what's happening all around you. And Boise's so pretty. My husband and I usually walk. We live downtown. We usually walk out to Quinn's Pond and around and then down the Greenbelt to the zoo and then back again. So it's such a gorgeous walk too. And then we have some time to chat and just get outside and use our legs. So that feels good. Blow off steam. Oh, probably the number one thing I do to blow off steam is get the hell out of here and travel. Love to travel. So that's probably the number one thing.
Do you have any retreats coming up?
No, I just finished the last one that I have planned. When the yoga studio I was teaching at downtown closed, I planned, I think it was 3 or 4 yoga retreats because I wasn't sure where I'd be teaching again.
Yeah.
And so the last one was... The final one was last weekend, and some of the guests were saying, I've been waiting 8 months for this retreat.
Oh.
Which kind of is, that's so interesting now to think about. So it's cool.
When did you decide you're going to open a yoga studio?
Oh, boy. Well, that's been a interesting just to see how it has unfolded for Paul. My husband's a yoga teacher too, as you know.
Yeah.
You know Paul. He's a meditation and yoga teacher and Ayurvedic health counselor.
I have to interrupt you also to say the first time I took Paul's yoga class, he would say the dialogue. It was a Bikram yoga class, 90 minutes. He'd say the dialogue and then occasionally he would like have a side conversation with the student and the other students could hear it. And then you'd hear an eruption of laughter. And I could not understand his accent. Mm. So if he wasn't saying dialogue, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And like people are laughing and having a good time. And I was just like, what is he saying? I'm missing out on it because it took me a minute to understand his beautiful Australian accent.
I love his accent. And I understand about half of what he says.
Maybe that helps being a human in relationships and reflection.
I usually just nod my head yes when I don't understand him. So I'll just say, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Okay, tell me about your yoga studio.
Oh, okay. So the reason I brought up Paul is because Paul and I wanted to open a studio as soon as we both graduated from the Bikram yoga teacher training. He immigrated from Australia in 2014, I want to say, over here to Boise. And we wanted to open up a studio. And we were pretty naive about the whole process and about what we would teach and kind of why we would teach, you know, why we would open up a studio, just because that's the next thing to do. It was, you know, so there wasn't a lot of deep thought, just like, well, let's do that because it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And we didn't end up doing that, luckily, because we had a lot more to learn and a lot more yoga to experience. And in the stretch of the next 6 years then, he and I have grown substantially just by being around a lot of different teachers in the community, exposure to all different types of yoga and meditation practices. And continued on with teacher training. You probably might recall, maybe, I don't know if I told you this, but I got into teacher training at Essential Hot Yoga when it was still here with Donna Jakovich. She asked me to lead the teacher training, and I was like, oh my gosh, what? I don't have, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was a pretty new teacher, 2 years in, but luckily I said yes to that because I've learned so much since. And so to answer your question, coming up through having led, I think I've helped to graduate about 350 students so far. And so I've led a lot of different teacher trainings and was really satisfied in that endeavor. And then the pandemic came. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic, lots of closing down, shaking people up, shifting your life around, and being with that change unfolding every day globally. And when Sage closed down, I thought, okay, well, maybe this is the time that Paul and I should open up a studio. Because there is a need, and there'll be more of a need when people feel more comfortable coming out again. And mm-hmm. This is just a radical shift in the world, and people will want to settle somewhere and help to kind of understand what's taken place and how they want to live their lives going forward, maybe with some healthy practices like yoga and meditation, breathing, being still.
I looked at your class schedule and it looks wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
And delicious. I can't wait to come and take a class there.
Thank you. Thanks. So we, with the studio, what happened, we started looking around downtown area, and we're coming close to signing multiple leases. It was taking a long time, 4 or 5, 6 months, and
wow.
Which I love, because it was another example that, like, for me not being able to teach when I start, finish my first teacher training, that you just have to wait for the good things sometimes. You just have to trust and wait. I met a woman who owned the Iyengar Yoga Center of Boise. Her name's Lisa. And she actually overheard me talking about a lease I was about to sign at Lemon Tree, just not far from here around the corner. And Lisa and I had a couple of conversations just from the teachers that she employed at the Iyengar Yoga Center of Boise, Vicki Aldridge and James Burton, that I'd worked with. And so I had talked with Lisa once before. She overheard me talking about signing a lease, and she said, I need to get out to coffee with this woman ASAP. And so we did. I was about to leave to host another retreat in the Baja. This was about 2 months ago. It seems like forever ago now. Yeah. And we sat down at coffee, and she said, tell me about your vision. And I did. And she said, I like for you to have my yoga studio.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was blown away by this woman's generosity. And I still am. I just got completely blown away by this woman's altruistic, perspective and just wanting yoga to go forward in Boise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's the short story of what's happened.
What classes do you teach at the studio?
I teach flow yoga, which is vinyasa. And I teach yin, which is a relaxation class. And then I teach sleep, the sleep yoga.
What is sleep yoga?
Sleep yoga, which is, it's a yoga nidra. A yoga nidra is,
gosh, yes.
Nidra is Sanskrit for sleep. And so you guys have, at Hollywood, you'll have some special events with yoga nidra, I've seen.
We do. Nick and Shelley do it seasonally with the solstices.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And so it's always themed each mm-hmm. season.
That's
and
good.
We need to schedule the next one.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
You've been a teacher and manager at Hollywood for how long now?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So at the beginning of this episode, when you were talking about asking yourself, why do you still teach? I know that feeling, because you're like, I'm still doing this. Mm-hmm. And I had a 4-day weekend where I just went to Braun Brothers reunion and danced and sang and had so much fun. And before going there, I feel like I had like a long week, and it was so hot, and teaching hot yoga with the heat, I was literally burned out. I was like, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the day I came back, I taught like the best class, had the mm-hmm. best energy. I did a yoga class and it felt incredible. And I was like, oh yeah, I love this. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. It keeps pulling me back for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're an amazing teacher.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you as well.
If you stop teaching, your students will find where you live. And
they will hunt me
and
down.
They will camp out on your front yard until you agree to teach again.
I was so surprised when you said that you were intimidated teaching in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
I was crazy intimidated teaching in front of people, but okay. I would never peg you for that.
Oh, yeah. I spent most of my life figuring out how to not be in front of other people, even from when I started, like, when did I start doing this? If I go back far enough into my childhood, it was probably around seventh grade. I figured I didn't want to be seen anymore. And, there was a part of me that did, because I went into sales. I had a sales career before.
I was going to say, you're such a leader. There's no way.
I had a sales career. But even in the sales career, I worked in pharmaceuticals for 10 years, I would find a way to not be in front of more than three people at a time because I was just so nervous to talk in front of other people. So I would, and maybe people understand how you can kind of manipulate your life so that you can, if you have some anxiety or you have self-doubt mm-hmm. or if you have just lack of confidence, mm-hmm. really a lack of confidence and being able to see myself for who I was. I was living in my head, and in my head, I wasn't the person that maybe you see, or because I definitely did feel that way for a long, long, long time in my life. And so I just kind of manipulated, and I came up with coping strategies too of trying to be around people. And I'm actually very introverted.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have extroverted jobs that we can go out and love that expression and yeah. that together time. And then, you know, you're going to go back to your house.
My
and it's
cave.
Going to be very quiet. There's not going to be anyone there. You're going to have your plants and your animals and you, and the people you love.
Oh my gosh. I was talking to my boyfriend about the five love languages and he said quiet time. And I was like, oh, you mean quality time? He's like, no, no. Shh. Quiet time. So we joke that quiet time is a love language of ours.
Yeah.
And it's real.
Yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I like that.
I do
that
have to
feel good to me.
I do have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh, okay. So the grand opening for True North Yoga was about 3 weeks ago. And so I had to do all my little things, marketing things of promoting the grand opening. And so I was taking around some posters in Hyde Park because it's a couple blocks away from Hyde Park. And I was taking my posters in and giving them to who was ever at the front desk in these businesses. So I walked into this, I think it was a coffee shop, and said, hey, you should come do some yoga. Oh no, it was the bakery. You should come do some yoga. Here's all the different classes. And I went through all the classes. Like, you could do power or flow, or you could do something relaxing like yin or sleep yoga. And then I turned and walked away, and as I was walking out the door, I heard someone say, I could definitely do the sleep.
I could definitely do the sleep. Yeah. I can definitely relate. I feel like people will come into the studio to take a class and like, Christina, it's true, I am only here for the Shavasana. Can I take a Shavasana earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And I feel like Shavasana should have its own class.
That might be called sleep yoga.
Okay, so where can people find you? What can you plug for us?
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for having me on. Come visit us at True North Yoga. It's in the North End. The address is 1512 North 10th Street. The cross streets are 10th and Alturas, and it's about a block away from Longfellow Elementary School. So we'd love to see you.
Great. Do we just book online?
Book online. Go to website truenorthyoga.co, and you can book online, or you can just show up and come to class and book at the studio.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on my little podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!